Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, wherever it is. This is Susan King, and this is where Genealogy and Spirit connect. We've been having some really fun shows, and I hope today is going to be a real fun show as well. I have a very interesting guest, and we may take a divergence today from ancestors to pets, but why not? You know, it's kind of one of those things, especially for all of us pet lovers. My guest today is Terry Porter, and she is a medium and holistic healer. And I'm going to ask her exactly how she changed from being a chef to a psychic, but we will get to that in a minute. But whatever caused her to do that, and she will tell you, obviously has changed her life forever. She is a spirit artist. She can also be very helpful in finding our elusive ancestors, and I think that that's kind of a new twist that we're putting on things here where genealogy and spirit connect. But she also is a healer. She is teaches mediumship. She talks to pets. She does angel bits and space clearing, and she's available for house readings and house parties, and really jack of all trades. So, Terry, I'm going to ask you, since I know, but I want you to tell the audience, how in the world did a chef become a psychic?
I know. It's a real stretch, isn't it? I actually worked for Marriott Corporation years and years and years ago. In fact, it was 1992. I was running one of their units in the business food service, and I fell and broke my hip on the floor. Bang. And I have this is a real long story short. From there, I had a full hip replacement, and I couldn't go back to work because I wasn't able to walk for, God, I was on crutches for 8 months.
Yes.
And from there, you know, the workman's comp thing, the whole nine yards. And what was happening, I was going 50, 60 hours a week normally. You know, you're a wife, you're a mother, and you're a worker. And the work was just 50, 60 hours a week. And I went from that to nothing. And it was like, oh, this is strange. Because I was in the house 24/7. I wasn't allowed out because that happened in September, and we had a bad winter that year. So
right.
I wasn't allowed to go walking.
I've been there, okay. So I can relate.
Yeah, you get the house crazies. Well, what I was finding that when I started getting out there, and my biggest thing was I'd go to the dentist because it was right down the street from me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I could actually hobble down, and that would be my walk for the day. It's about a quarter mile. And my dentist would walk in the office, and I would just go, Dr. Gabriel, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, Terry, how do you know that? I'm like, oh. So as time went on, I finally realized, hey, you know, Terry, you got to get back to work. You got to get back in the world. Stop sitting on your laurels and pick yourself up. So I tried to apply. You know how you go to night school or night college, that type thing, years ago?
Right. Leisure learning.
Yeah. And I figured, well, if I go back to school, then I'm picking myself up. Every one of the classes got canceled except for one. You know?
Okay.
Okay. And the one that didn't get canceled was called psychic healing. I never had a reading. I didn't know what psychic healing was, which turned out to be more of the Reiki. Didn't know what auras were. I didn't even know what a medium was. I didn't. And I went to this class. Things opened up. He directed me to the spirituals church. I told him he was nuts. He ended up right. I was wrong. I went to the church. I was just blown away because I walked in and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I seeing? So I watched the medium walk across the platform and they'd say things and I knew exactly what they were going to say and I'm seeing and thinking and I'm going, whoa. Well, I had a medium. This was probably about a month or two going to the church. I had a medium up on the platform say to me, you're going to be up here, you're going to be lecturing, and you're going to be doing this.
Wow.
That kind of guy myself. Yeah, right. He was right.
And you are.
And here I am. And from there, it's opened, it's bloomed. I can't get enough of it. And I can't go back. I can't ever go back to the corporate world, ever. I know I can't.
Well, you know, it's funny how that happens, and I bet you there are a lot of people out there that have had kind of similar experiences. And if you don't mind, Terry, I'm going to go ahead and give the call-in number. And while we talk, if there's anybody that wants to call in, because, you know, we're gonna talk a little bit about the ancestors, but I'm kind of my interest was piqued about talking to pets, and especially when I came home from a trip to New York last night and I had two weird animals looking at me, and I have yet to figure out what they're trying to say, but they obviously you know, are not themselves, and it'd be really interesting because, you know, in all essence, when you talk about talking to spirits, it doesn't matter whether it's a human or an animal, or, you know, and there are times when our animals have things to tell us that are very important, that I'm even wondering if they even channel sometimes some of our ancestors. They feel the spirits.
Oh, yes. I would agree with that.
Would you not?
Yeah, I would agree with that, that you never know when, well, I pretty much am finding out now when there is somebody with them or when somebody's in the room because they react. I have two cats myself, and they really will let you know. If they're themselves, it's one thing. If they're not themselves, it's kind of like, all right, who's here?
There you go. Well, let me give the toll-free number because Terry is available to answer questions, and that number is 888-815-9756. Again, the number is 888-815-9756. Now, you know, a friend of yours, in fact, recommended you to me, and that's Rita Berkowitz, and I was drawn to her because of her spirit art, and I find that so compelling, and especially, you know, for people who are skeptics, because, you know, if all of a sudden you can talk and about the images that you see, and people can
right.
kind of relate, but when you draw something and someone says, "Oh my God, that's my aunt so and so," it really gets past a little bit of the skepticism. So have you ever had a situation where somebody connected with an ancestor and or an elusive ancestor, and they, you know, I don't know if you've worked with genealogists, so I've got three or four questions piled up at you all at once.
Okay. I do know Rita Berkowitz. I feel she's one of the finest spirit artists around that I've seen. I personally, the spirit art that I do is, I actually have to do it in color. Me.
Okay.
If I lay down color on the canvas or on the paper that I'm using, and then I actually see the faces pop up. I know it's silly, but, you know, we all work in strange ways. But have I pulled through people's family and ancestors? Yes. In fact, one woman I'm sitting in front of, and she says, "Well, I'd like a spirit drawing." And I said, "Okay, I'm doing my best," and they bring in all sorts of different things because I get more than one face. And all of a sudden, I'm drawing this gentleman, and I'm saying, "No, it's a husband." And she says, "No, I'm married." "No, no, that's not my husband." I went, it has to be your husband. He keeps telling me he was your husband. And she goes, and she looked at it, and she goes, "That's my ex-husband. He's dead." And I'm like, "Okay, isn't that this what this is all about?"
Right.
So I actually have pulled in people, but like I said, Rita's to me is one of the, I look at her and she's one of the best in the business, but mine's different. I do get different things. I get a lot of pets too when I do that. I see cat faces, dog faces and things like that, so that's where the pets.
And you can kind of relate those faces to individuals, can you not? I mean, if you were doing a reading, for example, for me or someone else, and you got a pet, it could be, you know, one of my pets that passed on years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I had a party once. I guess everybody would like this. I had a party once. It was a birthday party for this one girl. Her friends were all giving her a party. There had to be seven people at the party. And usually, you know, we read people individually when you do a party. All they wanted to do was talk to their pets. That's it. They didn't want to talk to people. They didn't want to know about their grandparents or their parents. They wanted to, every one of them wanted to talk to their animals. And one woman owned a farm. That was fun. I'm going, because I'm looking at her and I'm saying, "Geez, I have dogs and I have cats." I said, "What's this duck doing here?" And I remember talking about a cow and she goes, "Oh, that's mine." Okay. Okay. I thought it was hilarious myself.
Well, you know, for someone who has two spotted dogs, I would guess something with spots would hit me too. Now,
I literally saw the cow.
Saw a cow.
Yes.
Now, when you work with people and especially on, let's talk about the ancestor side, and then let's have some fun with pets if there's anybody that wants to call in. But on the ancestor side, you know, if I wanted someone in particular to come forth to give me some information, for example, let's say I have an elusive ancestor that I cannot figure out for the life of me where he came from. I mean, you know, after 27 years, you know, he came from nowhere. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, been very elusive. And I have no information on any of his family, parents, other than who he married and his kids. So, you know, I'm stuck. And if I wanted to say to you, and I said, look, you know, I'm really trying to find this, you know, connection here to see if I can, you know, get some clues as to where to go with my research. Have you ever tried to do anything like that?
Not off the top of my head. No, people haven't asked me to say, okay, you know, here's a great-great-grandfather or great-great-uncle, you know, what's going on. But as you're talking, I want to say this feels like it's from an actual story. And I'd have to tell you that man was an illegitimate child, and that's where he came from.
Aha. Interesting.
Because years ago, you know, if a child was illegitimate, they either gave the child up or, you know, like an aunt or an uncle took them, or
right.
even an older sibling brought them up for themselves. So
right.
then the records are kind of askew.
Right. Well, you're actually picking up my mother who was adopted. Who was
an illegitimate
child.
Okay.
Not particularly the one that I was questioning, but this is, you know, you're definitely on target. And that one of the reasons I didn't bring it up is because I was kind of curious. It was a test. But that's
very interesting.
Very interesting. But, you know, my mother was an illegitimate child. And I've thought occasionally that she was adopted by someone in the family, but, you know, I have not been able to prove anything, and the only reason I thought it was familial is because the little information I was able to get from the Cradle Society, which was non-identifying, is that the father worked as a salesman for a mail order catalog,
okay. And
the family was related to the Spiegels in Chicago.
Ah.
And so I've always felt that there might be a tie-in to that family, and that either the father or the mother was somehow related to the Spiegels, and the adoptive parents were distantly related. My grandfather was related to the Spiegels. His mother was a Spiegel. In any event, Terry, we have a caller. And
okay.
Let's go ahead and see what they have to say.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hello.
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 Hi, this is Paul Marie.
Hi, how are you? This is Susan and Terry. Do you have a question?
Hi, Susan and Terry. I thought since no one else was calling in, I should give a call, since I'm accidentally listening to this radio show.
Well, there's no such thing as an accident.
No.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it with parentheses. Yeah. So I'm not sure what my question is. I have a great grandpa kitty right now, Bravo, a Siamese. He's been with me about 19 years. And not sure how long he's going to be around. He's still drinking water really well, eating very little, but always comes to get his pets. And I call him my temple kitty. I'm sure we've been together before. He had a companion cat who died a couple years ago, Adeline, who was about 18 when she died, and I was actually with her. It was a great experience for me to be able to walk to her and find her in the middle of the night and have her push her head against my hand in her last breath. So Another great companion. So I don't know what my question is, but I guess there's one coming out of this. I'm not sure if Addie's got information for me or Bravo or...
Well, let's see if I can... I feel like the female has some information. The first thing she's telling me that he's going to be around a little while longer. Don't give him a push. He's just slowing down. I don't feel like
the cat that's passing away now? Bravo?
The cat that passed away. The cat that's... The male that you have right now, I'm being told, will be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a chance.
No, I'm not giving up on him. I take good care of him. I just, you know, he's been with for 19 years. And he's he's just slowing down.
He's doing
down.
Good.
Yeah? Does he need anything that I'm not doing for him?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Is he needing anything that I'm not doing for him right now?
I just feel like I want to keep his bed and his food near each other, like everything in a convenient area versus him walking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I feel like you have been separated, which is natural.
Well, no, he just recently, he's gone through an interesting phase because last summer he started sleeping in the bathtub upstairs, and I thought that was because it was getting warm outside. It was a cool place for him, and then he disappeared way back in the back of the basement, and I brought everything down to him, and then after a while he decided to return back upstairs. But here recently he's downstairs and just coming up every once in a while to see me, so I guess it's time to move everything back. Huh?
And then yes. He's an indoor cat?
Well, no, he's always had freedom to go in and out, but he doesn't go out now. It's a big outing if he just steps outside the door for, you know, a few minutes, or, you know, with me.
Yeah, well, he's beginning to separate. And for him to find a hiding place, it sounds as if he's really separating further.
Mm-hmm.
That's because most animals leave.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought
when
he ended up at
the
last time. Yeah, and I took everything down there for him, but then he ended up coming back upstairs, and so I've left the water and the food. Well, he's got water up downstairs, but the food up here because I thought, well, you know, he comes up for it. It's on the piano. He loves to get on the piano and walk across the keys.
he likes to play. He likes the music.
Yeah.
I feel like what's happening. I feel like what's happening to him is he's going through different phases. Like he feels like, oh, okay, this is it, and he's not.
That's
a while.
That's what I thought too. When he decided to come back upstairs, I thought, oh, you thought you were going, but you didn't. So.
I feel like he. Getting a renewed sense of energy, and I would say that it's the other cat that's around him, kind of saying, okay, because he is missing the other cat.
Oh, yeah. I got him some companions right after she passed away because it felt he was just getting sick, and so we got a couple babies out of the shelter, which he, you know, eventually warmed up to, but...
Yeah, but they're busy for him.
What?
They're very busy.
Oh, yeah.
They like to have fun, and he slowed down.
Yeah. But, no, they were together for a long time. So okay, I'll take my food down there to him, if that's what you're saying.
I think convenient. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put like a wet food, but I would definitely put... a dry food down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess
give him a litter box, too, then. He keeps making it up to the litter box. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just wondering, are we going to have other... is he coming back as a cat? Whoops.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh. Is he coming back as a cat?
I don't feel like he's decided yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel like he hasn't been given the choice yet.
You know, it's interesting because I've had a couple of dogs that I swear, I think all my dogs have been together sometime in the past. because they all seem to get along pretty well. It's, you know, and I went through this too with one of my dogs last year where I had to put her down and she died in my arms. And it's, oh, man, that last, you know, that there's a connection there that you never lose because of that. You know, I mean, I have not been in the same room when a human being died. I was not there when my mother died, and I was not there when my father died. So, you know, this is about as close as I, you know, have been. And then, of course, it wasn't totally natural. I mean, it was, you know, we had to make a decision, which is even more difficult when you have them in the car. And she, as sick as she was and the fact that she wasn't eating, I swear, I had her in the back seat of the car, and she, when I kept looking back, going to the vet, I could have sworn she was a puppy again. And she looked like a little angel, and it was just, I had to literally turn my head, and I thought I was going to have a wreck, because when I looked back at her, it was not the same dog I put into the car. It was the strangest thing I'd ever been through. It was like she, you know, she was not the same. I mean, she was literally almost like what she was when I got her 15 years before. It was strange.
It's amazing what they'll do when they do that to you. Because I had a cat that 4 years. I had to put down 4 years ago. She, almost five actually. I was going through a divorce, and I was moving. And in that, she got sick right at the very end, which was like, uh-oh. And they said that she had, I said she had liver disease. And
right.
There was, you know, a 30% chance that the stuff would help, the medication or whatever they were going to do would help. And I said, but that's not going to help her, because here she is that ill. I'm going to put her in the hospital and then take her home to a strange place. She won't even survive that. And I sat on the bed with her, and she had stopped purring like weeks before that. That's how I knew, because she was a wicked purr baby. And I was thinking, literally, Susan, I was thinking, should I ask her to purr to tell me she needs to pass?
Right.
All of a sudden, she started purring. And I went, oh, God, you need to pass.
Right.
And took it to the vet. It was destroying me. I was just crazy. But I could hear her.
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of known what my cats wanted. But in this, the doctor gave her a sedative, and I was like, oh, my God, she's going. And all of a sudden, I heard, Mommy, no, I'm not gone yet. And all of a sudden, the doctor walks through the door and euthanizes her. I'm looking straight into her eyes. She opened her eyes wide and looked straight at me, and I could literally see her spirit move. And I heard her as she was leaving going, this is all right. I'm all right. We're going to be good. And I
right.
never told my vet who had come with me. She drove me there. And all of a sudden, we're sitting at a red light, and she goes, Terry, I don't know why I have to tell you this, but I see your cat running in a field. Huh. When I said that to my cat before we left the house, that it would be all right, that you'll be able to run in the field the way you've always wanted to. Because I kept
right.
her at the house. She was a Maine Coon, and they'd love to be outside.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just knew she was happy. I just knew that they give you, it's amazing. When you say it was a trickle in your eyes, it wasn't. They were giving you a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will never, never, ever forget that. I mean, I had to do a double, triple take because, you know, it turned out she had a very huge mass in her lung, and she was having trouble breathing, and she'd quit eating. And, I mean, and she was laying here, and, I mean, it was just, it was gruesome. And, you know, I put her in the car, and I look back, I wasn't looking at the same animal. I was looking, I know she was starting to trance to go. Yeah, her spirit was going, because she was just like a little puppy just sitting there perked up like, and I mean, you know, and I said to myself, how can I do this? I mean, you know, but I mean,
right.
at the end of the day, it was, I mean, she was sick. And
that's the most important thing to do, yeah.
Yeah, but it is quite an interesting period of time that those instances where they, either right before and right after, people die. And I know that people go through the same thing. My mother had, I think, several hours before she passed, because I was with her, she had this momentary awakening. She was in a coma, and she just popped up out of the bed and started talking like nothing had happened to her, and then she went back into a coma, and I left, and my brother came, and, 3 or 4 hours later, she passed away. So it was kind of the same thing. I just didn't realize what it was at the time.
Well, it's them being granted a moment to come back to you, and then it's time for them to leave.
Right.
I've heard many stories like that. They'll say, well, no, but they were conscious for such and such. And I'm like, yeah, but it's only them being given that moment to say goodbye or to say hi, to let you know that they're okay. And then if they go back into the coma, actually, often I find that that's when their spirit actually leaves your body, even though the body still physically stays alive.
Right, right.
And what a gift.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel it's a gift to have that privilege of knowing that you've escorted somebody or a life form back to heaven.
Right, and what I was going to say is that the people that spend the time with folks, and I'm having a mental blank, which I do it on every show, about what you call that when you put people in hospice.
I understand that.
Hospice is the people that do that for a living. I just have so much admiration for them because, that's something I don't think I could do. And there are people that gets, that's all they do. I find it very admirable. But they get a lot out of it. I don't know how you would describe a person that does that for a living. I mean, are they?
Well, I call them the angels here on earth because they have to be working with the angels to help somebody to escort them on to the other side.
Right.
That's literally, to me, what they're doing, is they're helping them here to transition. But it shouldn't be a fearful thing. Most people are so afraid, and that's too bad.
It really is. It really is. And I think that when we are not afraid of death, then we live better.
Better. Yeah, we do.
I had a situation 2 years ago, it's 2 years plus now, where I had a near-death experience. I went in for what was supposed to be a routine surgical procedure and came out of it, and everything was just fine for about 5-6 hours, and then I had a blood clot. And I had to get rushed back in, and there was no blood flow to the brain, and ended up having a small stroke, and they didn't know if I was going to make it or not, and, today nobody would ever know the difference, but, except I can't remember words here or there, and don't ask me to tie knots and untangle things, or have too many things in my hands at one time, I have a problem, but other than that, you'd never know, but, it was after that experience, I have never felt so much at peace as I did when that was happening. I knew something terrible was happening, but I wasn't afraid. And I can't say that I honestly saw the light, and I didn't go that far. I did feel I had an angel and on my shoulder, and I know who it was. And it was on my right shoulder, which was the side of my where I had the clot. And I can honestly say that, it's changed my life. It's changed how I view my life, and it changes how I have been drawn, similar to your experience, into the spiritual community, because
right.
It changes you. I mean, there is nothing
absolutely
Nothing like it. We have another caller on line one. Should we go ahead and take it?
That would be great.
All right. Hello?
Hi, Susan. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Good. This is Raj here in Florida.
Okay.
I just had a quick question here. I'm not sure you can hear me well. I have somebody doing the grass here. I just wanted to see what the psychic can actually relate me with on the other side here, or anybody that, you know, that wish to connect with me right now. The question that I had is, I wanted to see if I could connect with my aunt, my mother's sister.
Okay.
Let me see if she'll present herself. You're thinking way too much. That's the first thing I got to tell you. I need you to just kind of relax. I do feel as if the mother's sister.
Okay.
Hello?
All right. Yeah.
Did they hang up? Or?
No, he's here. He's, we had the okay. All right. Let's keep going. He's trying to connect
okay.
with his aunt.
I'll try to answer the question best I can. I do feel as though that his aunt looks very similar to his mother. I would have to say you can tell that they're family. I do feel as though their hair was different, and aunt feels like she wore a little bit more makeup. I have a very nice personality with her.
Yes.
And I need to express to him that she's around trying to help him, because I feel like there's some difficulties going on in the family. And I feel like it's involved not only in the immediate family, but in the extended family. And she was one that kind of took charge of everything. But I have to let him know that she's there and helping him.
Okay.
I feel like he connected to her more than mom. So, that's what I'm getting.
Does that make sense to you?
Very much so. And
it does.
Is there anything that could actually be pivotal in my career right now that she can help with?
Okay, pivotal in your career. The first thing I'm hearing is patience. You've got to have patience. I feel like you're trying to make changes and open up doors. But I get this, she's showing me kind of a wall in front of you. But part of me feels that it's an emotional wall from your end, but part of me feels like there's a few people, business-wise, that are in your way. I would say people that you feel that are in your way, people that you're not getting along with, like a boss or a coworker, write their name on a piece of paper and pop it in the freezer. just to keep you right now in a job situation. Career-wise, I feel like there's going to end up being changes, but you have to decide to go back to school and learn more. I really feel that there's a lot of learning on your end that's going to help to make a difference. Because you have the intelligence and you have the know-how, because I feel like you've had a lot of experience. You just haven't applied it and gotten that certificate, is what I'm hearing. But she's trying to encourage you to do that.
Well, absolutely. I'm actually days away from getting involved into a program that will actually change my career for real. And
awesome.
You're right on the dot. You're right on the dot.
Yeah.
And,
you got to keep going forward. And don't look back. Just go forward.
And I want to ask the caller one question. Why were you picking up on your aunt? Did you just sense that she was the one that was really pulling your strings?
Let me tell you something. In this lifetime, this is the person that I could actually connect with much easier than anybody else. So I feel that
Susan,
she's around sometimes. Pardon?
She has to listen to you.
Yeah, and I just feel sometimes that she's around, but yet the best way to communicate is with stopping this interaction to continue.
The best way to communicate with her is just plain talk to her and sit down when you're asking her a question. Look for the signs, first and foremost, and then try sitting down and working on some automatic writing. You'll ask her a question, and just whatever comes through, let it get written down on the paper. Don't judge it, because you'll find that your handwriting will change eventually. And that's how you know you can trust to be able to communicate with her.
Any particular message? Sorry.
You were breaking up a little bit, but caller, I guess, Terry, is there any particular thing that she might want him to know that is the sign that she is with him? Is there something?
I feel like one is the comfort, because I feel as though she used to give him a lot of comfort. So when he's asking her a question, he'll feel that comfortable, that comfort zone. When the answer comes, and remember that she does drive with him.
Wow!
Well, he needs it. He gets a little.
Can you repeat that for me? Can you repeat that?
Go ahead. You get very distracted when you drive. You think too much.
Okay.
And she does drive with you because she's telling me you had a few what I call uh-ohs. Like, oh my God, I could have gotten killed. And a lot of people do this. This is their thinking place. It's a car. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. but she is telling me that she's very much with you. And play the music. Okay. Would you please love music?
Okay.
That's right. You know, thank you, caller, and I hope you got some value out of that. You know, we all have our family members come to us. I know my mother is... I mean, she yells at me. I mean, I can hear her. I can hear her. I mean, it's just like I can hear her. And, I mean, I'll say something to, and then I'll say something to somebody else, and I'll look at them, and I said, I didn't say that.
Well, she likes to be heard. She always did.
Yeah. I mean, I said, that's Elise. She's talking. And she always does
much.
That. She's
Thank
a riot.
Thank you so very much. I am really impressed of conversation we've had today. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome,
You're welcome.
Caller. Uh-huh. Now, yeah, getting back to some of the things that you do, and I know that, you know, we're doing these things, you know, for people, you know, for free, but you do this for a living, don't you? Obviously.
Yes, I do.
And
yes.
So...
I have an office in Weymouth, and I'm a medium, and I find that, you know, speaking to the higher side is very valuable for people's grieving process, and it's very valuable for just everyday healing. Because I know a lot of people are opening spiritually, and they have no idea what's going on. So that's part of what I do.
How would you explain to someone, or what signs would you explain to someone that they really are kind of opening up to things spiritually, even though they don't want to, you know, say that they are, but what kinds of things, you
well,
know?
Oftentimes I find that it's called a rebirth, or I call it a rebirth, or somebody else, like in the tarot cards, one of my tarot cards says an awakening. Well, there's actual physical symptoms I've noticed, and it's they're not sleeping right, they're not eating right. They want change, don't know where to go to get it. They start losing friends, or places change, like they're transferred from a job or something. So people and places change around them. They feel that everybody else is changing, but in truth, they're the ones that are actually changing, and they're just absolutely confused. And they could be holding their car keys in their hand and go looking for it all at the same time. Yet they're highly intelligent people, and you would think they have it all together, but as soon as you start describing that, they go, oh, my God, how do you know that? Well, let's see, they're telling me and they're showing me. And a lot of times people that have a lot of anxiety, and this is, I'm totally shocked how many people have so much anxiety and they blame it on themselves. It's, oh, my God, I'm panicking, blah, blah, blah. You're not panicking. Spirit's around you.
You know, we brought this up when I was, it came to me, I had a, Althea Gray was on my show probably about a month or so ago. It was actually May 11th, I think. And we were talking about the same kind of thing. And, you know, it was really interesting because it dawned on me that I started having anxiety and panic attacks very shortly after I started doing my genealogy research. Same time period.
Right.
And, you know, I never put the two and two together. I thought it was, you know, my hormones were out of line. I mean, the doctors were telling me it was this, and, you know, my sugar was out of balance and whatever. But, I mean, these things were real. And, you know, I've noticed that yeah, I don't have it near as bad as I did. But around that same time period, the more and more I started mentioning to people that I was experiencing this panic disorder, the more and more I started hearing other people say, well, you know, I have it too. And, you know, it's something like it is an inexplicable condition that comes on suddenly. So I want you to talk a little bit more about that because, you know, I really think that anxiety thing, and that may be why so many of these kids, now, I mean, thinking out loud, that we have all these ADD and all these kids that are just, you know, running rings around everybody and the doctors are medicating them, and really, in essence, they're part of the whole new spiritual indigo thing, and it's really, they'd be better off being treated by dealing with...
spiritually.
Yes. Than with the medication.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement. First, I want to give you a little bit. So, in fact, Rita Berkowitz had said to me, she goes, you know, Terry, there's not much difference between a medium and a schizophrenic. How so?
Sorry.
She says, we both have to disassociate in order to get the information. The difference is that a schizophrenic doesn't come back to reality. So that's my running joke, that what's the difference between a medium and a schizophrenic? Now, I just had to throw that in. What I found is that many a person is influenced or touched in by people from the higher side. I mean, I know it for myself. If I'm doing a party, I'll get people 5 days to 7 days ahead of time. And I start going, okay, what's this pain? I have pain in my heart. Somebody passed of a heart attack. I'll get a headache. Somebody passed of a stroke. And I get it. They give it to me and say, and I'm going, okay. Now, a lot of the average person getting a lot of that pain or anxiety, they're going to blame it on themselves.
Right.
And I have learned that it's when spirit is around. And as you say that you were getting the panic attacks, I would say to you, okay, who died of heart problems? Who died of lung problems? And
right.
Take it backwards, because that tells me that these people are around.
There you go.
And when we realize that it's our family, to me that's a huge comfort. To most people
right.
It's kind of scary, but one of the best ways you can find out if it's somebody from the other side is ask it to go away. If this is not mine, back up. And when it does, you ask who it is. But you got to trust the answer. Sometimes they give the answer, you know, or sometimes they don't, I should say. And then other times you just get, like, grandma. And it was your grandmother.
And it's very interesting, too, how they present themselves, you know, when they come around. I mean, I have these two butterflies that come around, and they go in tandem. And I'm pretty sure that's my mom and my dad. I mean, when they come together, I mean, and they do it frequently, and I mean, I can catch them, and they just flit around in tandem. I mean, it's like the Blue Angels or whatever you call them, you know, how they
right.
fly in formation. And I have these two butterflies that fly in formation in my backyard from time to time. And so, you know, I will stop and I'll say, okay, you know, is there a message here that y'all are trying to tell me? And that's, you know, and what's interesting is that, and, you know, people are going to think I'm nuts too, but I'm not nuts because I know it happens. is that usually something will come to me very soon thereafter, either as an aha or as a really an idea that I hadn't thought of before, or as a situation will change in a way that I didn't expect it to change. And, we had a joke during some of my businesses, and I've had multitudes of them, not multitudes, but two of them, I think, of real consequence. And my real close friends, would always say to me, it's Elise, your mother, just let her, she'll come and fix anything. And,
right.
she normally would. I mean, it was just, I could be in despair and, not know how to resolve something. And, suddenly it was all fixed. And everybody would say, it's your mother, because that's everybody who knew her, just knew that was her. And, there are times when things just happen. And, I learned from that is to not rush judgment. So there is something bothering me, that thing about sleeping on it and
right.
not rushing to and not being rushing to do something about it right away. Usually,
right.
it will resolve itself overnight, and it'll get fixed. And I learned that over and over and over again. And we all have this tendency to, we have a problem and we want to go solve it right away. And sometimes it's best to say, okay, I've got a problem. And I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to say, hopefully, I'll say, please let me awake in the morning with the right answer.
As you ask that question, you're letting them help you.
Yes.
And that's the thing. There's two things I want to really point out. And here we are talking about spirit influencing us, and I don't want to place fear in front of anybody because people say, oh, you're being possessed. Don't even go there. That's not true. Never, I don't even want to hear that out of anybody. It's, you're not being possessed, you're being given a chance for help. You ask for it, and here are these, your family members, angels, guides, helping you. You ask, you receive. That's just the bottom line. So, I want to dispel that, but you have to learn to trust. As soon as you trust that it is influence from the higher side, the greater it is, simply because we're getting out of our free will and we're not being so stubborn.
And we're basically getting out of our ego.
Exactly.
And letting our higher self, take over, which, is really, who we really are. Our ego is
exactly.
not who we are. And, it's a funny thing, and I know that we all have an ego, and sometimes we... As much as we want to say, we're spiritual human beings, I mean, we fall victim to our own ego sometimes. And
we all do.
Yeah, we all do. And, the key is to really begin to identify, what's really you and what is ego. And once you are able to begin to do that, your whole living process changes. And you become who you really are and not... who I know I spent, and I'm going to confess, I spent the good part of my life, being who I was because of my career. And I was this, and I was this, and, I lived that life. And,
right, and that, a lot of us did. That wasn't anything different than, most people.
And it really wasn't until I had this near-death experience when I realized that that's not me.
Right.
There's a different me. And, that's the me I want to live, and not living as president of this and founder of this and, whatever. I realized that was not who I am. Granted, I've had some accomplishments in my lifetime, which I'm very proud of, but that's not who I am. And I'm really enjoying. Have you gotten on Facebook yet?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm enjoying that because I have all my faces on Facebook.
There you go.
You talk about the many faces of Eve. You know, I'm a musician. I'm a steel drummer. I'm a genealogist. I am a sailor. I'm a parrot head. I'm a spiritualist. I mean, you name it, I'm it. And I'm having more fun being my eclectic self and bouncing around between all these things that I really love to do and that I enjoy doing. And, you know, Facebook has allowed me to say, you know, I am who I am, and you either accept me for who I am or you don't, you know. And
exactly.
I never dreamt that, you know, I lived in such a cocoon as to who I would let people know who I was, because, I mean, I was this. And, you know, I didn't want people to know that I had all these funky features going on in my life.
Yeah, but that's what makes you the great person. When we're not just, you know, if people label me as just a medium, that's not true. I'm not just a medium. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm, and have done. So haven't many of us. And that's awesome.
It is.
You're living in spirit by being the best spirit you can be at the time that you are.
Wow. That's pretty profound. So, Terry, let's make
sure.
They
need me to get that in.
Yeah, that's really profound. So, how do people get a hold of you? You want to give out your website?
Well, they can. I have a website. It's Angel Crossing, C as in Cat, F as in Frank, H as in Holistic, H as in Healing.com. Or they can call the office.
Okay.
And the office number is 781-331-4441.
Now, I've got a quick question. We're starting to wind down a little bit. But you do spiritual readings, correct?
Yes.
You use cards or use a card.
Yes.
Do you use tarot cards or do you have your own cards? Or?
I have tarot cards.
You have tarot. Okay. You talk to pets. Is there quickly anything my two wanted to tell me last night when I came home?
No. I feel like something happened. I don't know whether I feel like at some point they didn't get along. I would check what, you have dogs, right?
Yeah.
They don't really like being alone, do they?
No. No.
That scared them. And they were like, hey, wait a minute, where are you, Mommy?
Yeah. Well, I don't go away that like often anymore, so.
Yeah, well, like, I just feel like they were rebelling a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And I'm getting ready to leave them again for a few days. So I know that they're not going to be real happy again.
Well, do you have anybody check on them?
Yes, I had someone stay here, but I don't know how frequent he was really here.
Yeah, I would make sure that they get more attention.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I feel like they when they don't get the attention, they're like, "Well, where are you?" I guess.
Right. So anyway, so you do communicate with pets both on.
Yes.
This side and on the other side. And you have something that you call angel bits. What exactly is that? That sounds kind of intriguing.
Well, you know, I have clients that are actually in Europe. I have client, an opera singer in Belgium and another, you know, professional person in Cairo. And a lot of times they call it odd times, and I charge a flat fee for the month, meaning that if they need to call me 6 or 7 times in a month, I charge a flat fee simply because, you know, if I keep charging them, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And I don't want to do that to them if they're just asking a question.
Right.
So it's only fair that, and I have another woman several people around here, only because they're going through so much, they need the extra help, they need somebody to be able to talk to or to ask a question to. so it's a flat seed. And we take it from there.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting concept. Then you draw, you do spirit art.
Yes, I do.
And we didn't touch on this space clearing. I bet you there are a lot of people that have a room in their house that they can't walk into.
I bet they have a whole house that way, too.
And well, I
know
have
some
one
people
room.
That do. But, you know, if you're not sure you want to do it because it unnerves you, I go in and I do it, and I actually tune in to who's there and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have the information, and that you can, then I empower you to be able to take back control. I go and clear it, but I also give you the tools to be able to help to do it yourself.
Okay. And then house readings, that's also an interesting thing. You know, and I bet you, I don't know if you run into this, where when you go in and do house readings, if you ever need a genealogist to kind of, do the research on that house after...
I actually have had a few homes, older homes, that would be perfect. The genealogy would be really amazing because it was kept in families, or there was only like three owners to the mm-hmm. house, and yet the house is like 150 years old. Yeah, that would be that would help a lot.
That and ghosts. I mean, I would love to do some, be involved in some research on any of those kinds of things. So keep me in mind for that. And then you also do house parties.
Right. If somebody's having a gathering, sometimes it's all family, sometimes friends, and I go in and they party all night, and I bring my bottle of water and I sit and do readings all night. That bottle will travel. You know, you got to have something with it.
Right. And then you go into the holistic healing, and we're going to run out of time here, but the training certification, I want to talk to you offline about that, because I've got something in mind for you and me. But you do classes, and do you do these one-on-one, or you do them in groups, or how does that work?
I'll do them one-on-one, but a lot of the workshops and training for the healing modalities, I like to do it more than one person. Because then, especially with the healing, we'll do a healing, we'll take an hour and we'll just heal each other. So you get experience on it, so you feel comfortable doing it.
Have you ever done these virtually?
Not as yet.
Okay, we're going to talk.
Okay.
we may do some of these. I've been working on something, and I'm really excited about it. So we will talk, and the audience will wonder. And when we're ready to announce, they'll be able to find out what I've got up my sleeve here at www.susaneking.com. And again, my website is www.susaneking.com, and it's where genealogy and spirit connect. And we're doing some interesting things coming up, I think, that should be of interest to a lot of people. In any event, I'm Susan King. I've been your host. Terry Porter's been my guest. It's been a wonderful hour. It's gone by really quick.
Well, thank you.
We've actually gone over, and hopefully we'll do this again soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks, everybody, for being there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.